A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men TV. Yes, I'm Steve Hoare, delighted to be joined by Peter Kenny-Jones and by John Reid. Yes, it's Liverpool versus Brentford, the match preview show. Rather, Brentford versus Liverpool. It's an away game. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. We'll have a big old chat about it. Just for clarity, and I say this most often because I know some of you guys are watching this later on or listening to this later on, we're doing this show at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, so Jurgen Klopp's press conference is later on this morning. I think they've changed their time about four different times, so if anything changes between now and then, now you know what's gone on. What isn't going to change, and I'll start with you, Pete, is how big a game this is, really. Like, you know, Liverpool's record at Brentford since they've come back up, they've drew and then they've lost. It's been a difficult ground for us to go to, and we're expecting another similar game. I imagine it's going to be a tough one early morning Saturday.
Yeah, well, we all know half 12 on a Saturday is never the ideal time to play, is it? But we haven't come off an international break, so there's a lot less of an excuse this time as to why we wouldn't want to play it. But yeah, I think Brentford are always a good team, but playing them at their place is hard. And then now Ivan Toney's back and seemingly with a point to prove of looking for a move, it's a lot of worries on top of each other, isn't it? But, you know, every Liverpool fan's probably talking about the League Cup final, but we all know that the bread and butter, as they always say, is trying to win the league. And we've got two big games against teams on paper we should win, but they're not going to be easy either of them. And obviously it starts with Brentford, and just hope we get the win.
Absolutely. We also want Liverpool and what they might do in a moment, John. I always start with the opposition first. Brentford have been they're having a bite. It depends. Is 14th place a bad season for Brentford? I think we've actually half expected a little bit better of them. They had a really poor run. A lot of it was injury related, and of course Ivan Toney was out. Since he's come back, they've picked up a couple of points. They got a win the other day as well against Wolves. They're on 25 points, so they're about probably where you'd expect them to be, considering they were without their best player for so long. They pose a very specific threat. I was thinking the other day, and I described them as like a really modern version of like Stoke, in which, I mean, they can play and they can properly play, but also they do you on set plays. They have specific game plans. They did City with one. It was a goal kick they did City with. Like, they are, you know, Thomas Frank is meticulous when it comes to set plays. They've killed us on set plays. You know, last season they could have scored like five. You know, a couple of offsides go against us. Liverpool were all over the place. It is like a very unique challenge going to Brentford. It was similar, you know, going to Stoke used to be mad, or like going to Burnley, you'd expect a different type of game. They're technically better than those teams, but they still offer you those, you know, the long throws and the corners and the set plays, and they're really good at it. And Liverpool, you know, twice under this management, under Thomas Frank and Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool struggled to get the job done down there.
Yeah, they're really a team of moments, aren't they? I can't think of a team other than maybe Villa, who was so good sort of playing on the counter, but as you say, sort of set plays and stuff as well. Like, they're so well rehearsed, and like, you know, just the size of them, to be honest, that they're probably one of the most physical teams in the league, and I don't mean that in a bad way, just as in like the size of them, you know, they're all team of giants.
And design as well, like, that's what he signs, like,
It's what he goes for, and I just think it's almost like he's took all the best bits of like Premier League football from like 2000 to 2010 and just distilled it into like one team. And as you say, that's not to do them down in terms of playing football either. They are like a really solid football team, but you've just got to hope. I mean, I think for them, it's obviously, as you say, like, we've not won at their place yet, but it's been a weird season, just obviously missing him up front. Obviously, they always seem to sell a player in the summer as well. So, and they've had a lot of injuries and a lot of knocks and stuff. So, you know, I don't think they've really had probably many games this season where they've been able to sort of put their full team out and sort of play, I think, how he would like them to play. So to be where they are is probably quite decent, just in terms of like turnover of games and stuff this season. But they're still very much a threat. I mean, that City game, there was a spell from sort of like 60 to 75 where they were on top. And like, you know, you like obviously City still going to win, but they can do anyone on the day, really. And like, as you say, like that in much in the same way we have it with Anfield, their ground is such a, you know, like an extra lift for them, isn't it? You know, that's it. Their home games really will get them through a season.
Yeah, I suppose like, credit to them, Pete, because no Tony for a while. They lost Visa through injury, and he's a really good player. Do you have, you know, like, they've managed to get themselves, listen, they're only 6 points clear of relegation, which is, you know, it isn't massive, but also the 14th, there's a lot of teams battling down there as well. Like, to be fair to Thomas Frank, he's done quite well. He's done it differently this year. I think he took the league by storm a little bit the first year, second year as well. This year's been a little bit different, but, you know, I think if you take the best two attacking options out of most Premier League teams, they would really, really struggle. So yeah, now he's got one of them back. Like, the, you know, 14th might even be a bit of a false position. He probably could be, you know, pushing up towards mid-table if they have everyone back fit and available. So that does go to show, like, the task that Liverpool have got here. If, you know, Liverpool away to the 14th, you know, 6 points above the relegation zone feels, oh yeah, that should be all right. But actually, with it being Brentford, it is a different story.
Yeah, but I think they're also a team that everyone kind of likes, which I think is quite a credit to Thomas Frank and the job he's doing. And also, you know, he's by no means the favourite, but there's people looking for who our next manager is going to be, and he's in the conversation. He's not like being shouted, but there's whispers about him, isn't there? And that shows how good of a job he's doing. And I think, you know, what makes a good manager is turning average players into good. And you know, you look at Neil Mopay, I think the Everton fans were probably celebrating as he was driving up the training ground for the last time, and now he's scoring for fun, isn't he? So, you know, if you can see that in a player, and obviously he played there before, so it's easier, but if you can see that in a player and get the best out of a player who's struggling elsewhere, it shows you're a good manager. And I think, yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough game against a side, as I say, who, you know, as you said there, sorry, there's probably a false position that they're in at the moment. And when they were playing City, obviously it's because they beat the moment away last year, but as a fan myself, I was thinking there's a chance they can get a result here. So if I'm thinking that against City, then you've got to think exactly the same against us. And yeah, hopefully we manage to get the 3 points. But, you know, there's a fear about them and an appreciation about them. That doesn't just happen for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of the context of the game, then, before we speak to about Liverpool, like, as we know, Liverpool go into the weekend top of the Premier League table on 54 points. Manchester City second on 52 points with that game in hand. Ironically, it's against Brentford as well. Arsenal then sitting third on 52 points, so 2 points behind us, 24 games played as well. Now, if you look at the fixtures, and we'll speak about at the end of the show, City to play Chelsea at home, Arsenal at home against Burnley. Now, we're the only one with an away game there of the three. If you're a Chelsea fan or a City fan, you're half thinking that you're pinpointing that as a game, as that might be one, sorry, or an Arsenal fan, that might be a game where Liverpool can drop points here. Because Pete's right, we'd be doing the same. If Arsenal were going to Brentford at half 12 or City were going to Brentford at half 12, now you'd probably still think they were going to win, but you wouldn't be nailing it down as that banker. So it is right, that just goes to show, like, you know, it is a very dangerous game for Liverpool. You know, they can't take the eye off the ball. There is a cup final coming down the road and stuff, but this is a tough one.
It is, and you know, it's one of them ones, I think, now where, like, we're entering that part of the season where it's no longer about style, is it? It's more about just putting points on the board and stuff and keeping the running going. You know, they're a team that sort of give you lots of different challenges, and some of the people we're missing, I think particularly Szoboszlai, for me would be a bit of a worry, just in terms of the middle of the park and just sort of making sure they don't get the turnovers and stuff. But he'll have options, I think, the manager, which I think will help him a lot with this. Obviously, we've got the game coming up midweek as well, but I think being able to sort of change things from the bench and sort of just keep legs fresh, I think, is probably the most important thing for me going into it, just in terms of, as I say, they're a really physical team, and, like, particularly as well, you know, obviously touch wood doesn't happen, but, like, if we go behind first, they're a team that won't give you nothing as well. You know, they're very good at sort of just, you know, putting men behind the ball. So we'll need, I think, sort of a bit of everything. Hopefully we go ahead first and just take the game away from them. But it's one of those really tricky fixtures, I think. Like, I started by talking about them in terms of Stoke and stuff from years ago, but I agree. I think that there's such a weird, like, nuts to crack, and we had it a bit with Burnley under Jürgen, where, like, the first couple of times we played Burnley, they sort of did us, or we struggled, and then all of a sudden you seem to get it, and then from then on we were fine. I don't know if we're quite there yet with Brentford, but as you say, they're a team that can can give anyone problems. So I just think it's one of them games where we just need to go and just be at it, really, and just, you know, flat track bully it.
Absolutely. Now, we'll speak to Liverpool now again to clarify. We're doing this before the press conference, so if anything changes between now and then, I do apologise. Not much we can do about it when Liverpool changed the time of that press conference 55 million times. As it stands, we believe, just to go through it, we believe Trent is out. He's going to miss the cup final as well. The Dom Szoboszlai hasn't trained all week, so there's a very good chance he's out. He's pushing for that cup final. Salah has been training, so we're going to presume he's back. Whether he's available to start, we don't know, but we're going to presume he's back. He was training on Tuesday, so you'd think he's there. Conor Bradley's back as well. Ibu Konate is no longer suspended. So base it all on that kind of stuff. Let's sign back a Liverpool team, because this is interesting in that Jäger specifically mentioned the last two times he's played Brentford, he's put Cody Gakpo in midfield, and he's literally said, yeah, because we need big players. A lot of it was set-piece defending and attacking and just the physicality of the game. They were both home games, it's worth mentioning, but he referenced, like, you know, that's why he's there, basically. That's why I didn't play. I could have played Elliot, but, you know, I wanted Cody Gakpo in midfield. So yeah, that is something that we're going to have to consider here when we're talking through this team in a moment. Jürgen has specifically changed this team to deal with these in the past, so there's no reason why he won't do it again.
Yeah. Well, I think, obviously, as you said then, and I think Gomez and Alisson come back from illness as well, isn't it? So obviously, to have Alisson back is a huge boost, because as much as Kelleher saved us twice, literally against Burnley, having Alisson's already a massive boost for them all. And then I think Conor Bradley coming back in, the fact that Trent's injured isn't good for anyone except probably Conor Bradley, and not only just because it takes a bit of pressure off him, because if you're Conor Bradley taking the place of Trent Alexander-Arnold, then there's a lot of pressure on you. But if he's out injured, it almost like gives him room to breathe. We're told he's out for the cup final. So if you're Conor Bradley now, you've got three games in the next 8 days, ends in Wembley, hopefully winning your first cup as a Liverpool player. And there's not that pressure of maybe getting dropped out. Obviously, you could put Gomez there and he still has to perform well. But I think that removing that pressure will definitely help him. And then, as you say, in the midfield, will he need to be tall? Will he need to be physical? I would, you know, if it's not Gakpo, it could be Gravenberch in terms of height, because physicality as well is important. Then I think if you've got, I'd still say Salah would probably be on the bench, or if he does play Gakpo in the midfield, then you've still got an attacking option off there, which might make it easier for him. But yeah, I think I'd still go with Nunes, Jota and Diaz up front, and then it's always about the midfield, isn't it? I think Endo and McAllister might be a shout just because they get the tackles in, which then means you need the height of Gakpo or Gravenberch. That's the only issue. But yeah, I think other than that, it's not too hard to pick. It's just a midfield, I think, which
he has got options, though, to be fair. Let's start, obviously Alisson's going to play in goal, we know that. Let's start at the back. Konate's going to come in, we know that. He's got an interesting decision to make at full-back, like I say. Gomez, Bradley and Andy Robertson and Kostas Tsimikas are all available for this one, so he's actually got four options how he wants to use this. I think we can probably leave Kostas out. I wouldn't be shocked if he started midweek against Luton, but there is a world where he can play Gomez at left back and play Bradley. He can go Gomez at right back. He can do whatever he wants. Going back to the point before, John, about the set play defender and whatever, I'd be half shocked if Gomez isn't in. It's deciding which side you want him on is the option. Does he play right back and Robertson plays left back, or does he play left back and Bradley plays right back? I think he's going to go Gomez right back with Robertson left back, personally.
Okay.
With a view of Conor Bradley starting at home against Luton in midweek. But listen, Bradley's been fantastic. Milan in the chat here says, you know, I'd have him as our first choice right now. He's been fantastic. You know, player of the month for January. He is making a really strong case for himself. So how do you see the manager dealing with the fullback situation?
I do think Gomez starts, whatever happens.
I agree.
For me, I think he'd probably put him at left back, just because you've got, in terms of how he set up, then you've got the opportunity then for Bradley to go forward. But I just mean in terms of balance on that right side. I think there's been games, obviously, with Salah not being here as well, where that right side weirdly has actually looked more balanced almost by having Bradley there. So I wonder whether, just in terms of keeping the team sort of ticking over, if you like, he does that. Not to in any way disrespect Luton midweek, if you like, but just for keeping that. I do think you'll probably see all three of them. At some point, I think Robbo will be on the pitch at some point during the game. And then at that point, maybe then he puts Gomez right back. But I think it'll probably start, for me, I think, with him at left back and Bradley at right back.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, to be honest. Yeah, I think, as you say, obviously, with Robertson coming back from injury as well, we we kind of put the 11 people that could play on the pitch against Burnley, didn't we? I think, you know, it was his first start in 4 months or something for Robbo. So I think just to let him know you're coming on at the hour mark, and then we'll try and get you through Luton and then get you through to the cup final, because obviously he's who you probably want at left back. And also Gomez deserves it. I think we said against Chelsea, you know, it all kind of went a bit wrong against Arsenal and against Burnley in terms of team selection wise. I think we all would have said Bradley and Gomez deserve to be rewarded with more game time, and for illness and obviously horrible personal reason for Bradley to take them two out of the team, it seems unfair that they lose their place. So yeah, I'd agree, I'd start Gomez left back and Bradley right back.
So I think he'll go the other way. It's difficult though, isn't it, John, because if they're going to stick to the system they've used recently, they play three centre backs and two wing backs. So Reguilon played left wing back both games for against Wolves and against Manchester City. It's whether you say, I'm all right with that, and we'll try and get Conor Bradley to push him back the other way.
Mm.
It is difficult. Cause if you go Bradley and Gomez, I think Gomez will play. I think you're right. There's no wrong answer. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
My thinking on that is, I think he might go Bradley and Tsimikas in midweek against Luton with a view, because all four of them have had a run before the final kind of thing. If Gomez plays left back, you're almost telling Kostas Tsimikas he's like third choice left back now, and there's a squad dynamic to this as well, kind of thing. It is what it is. He's come back from injury. He'll have to deal with it, but it's a good problem to have for the manager. Really, Trent probably didn't want to play that game against the Burnley. Probably half fit, unfortunately. It's proven that he's injured now. Yeah, the manager had to get out. We could get out. Now it's the other way around. He's got an abundance of options for him. Like, his head must be spinning a little bit. Like, he's going from not feast to famine almost, or famine to feast in this instance.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all depends on sort of how Brentford set up. My main thing on it is I just think if they're going to start with Mope and Tony, you want three. So if you have your three centre backs, even though Gomez would be playing left back, you can sort of at least always have sort of cover.
You can almost match them and almost become a back three with the wing backs like that, which is what they're going to do, I suppose.
Robertson obviously does give you that cover just in terms of recovery pace as well. You know, in terms of if they do play on the break and Tony gets away. So it's one of them where, like, I can sort of make the case for either.
Yeah.
As you say, in terms of the squad dynamic and stuff, you obviously want everybody fit and sort of everybody happy, particularly just given how sort of the next 8 days goes. But I don't know, it's a tough one. My only thing with, I say, picking Gomez is I just think of the physicality. I just think he's probably a slightly more, you know, we were talking about set players earlier. I think he's probably a slightly more robust presence than Robertson.
I'd 100% have him in. It's just, which side. And we'll find out later, I suppose. Let's go to midfield then, because this is the interesting part. He has got loads of options. I'll stick with you, John.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Number six is the first one, really. My guess is that he'll want Jones in and he'll want one of Gravenberch or Gakpo in. I think he will go for the height thing. I don't think he will go Endo and McAllister. I think it'll be Jones and a Gravenberch or a Gakpo or something. I think, given what he's done against Brentford in the past, so therefore he's got a decision to make maybe at six. I mean, he could go McAllister further forward and that's on the cards, but I don't know. how do you see him doing? Let's start with the number six role. Is it one of both of these two for you, or is it both? Because going back to the height thing, it seems a bit counterproductive that he's always talked about height against Brentford and then playing both of them when they're not both that tall. No, end up good in the air, but how do you see him doing the midfield number six stuff?
I think it all depends sort of on what team he's picking looking forward. So I think you'd be looking at Luton and thinking that's probably a game where I need Endo, just in terms of turnovers in midfield and stuff, and maybe like sort of trying to keep Ross Barkley contained. So for this, I think it might be a game where he thinks, all right, as you say, if I put Gravenberch and Gakpo as the two and I put McAllister as the six, he's a bit smaller, but he's very mobile. He can get round, he can move the ball. He's got bigger people around him, kind of thing. And then I've got the opportunity then to keep him fresh for the following weekend. So I think he'll start just one. I think he'll start McAllister, and then I think he'll have Jones. And then I'm torn between Gakpo and Gravenberch, but I think probably Gakpo just based on sort of like recent form and stuff.
Okay. I think McAllister will play the six as well, Pete.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
I think Endo will play, yeah. Just because of, I think he's, we saw that run in December, January, where he started like the 8-9 games in a row, whatever it was. And I think, although we've all had a week break, I just think he's the best, probably the fittest option in the midfield.
Does McAllister play as well for you?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But like, I'm not, like, you've said about the height, and Gakpo or Gravenberch obviously had more. If I was just picking the midfield today, I'd still go Endo, McAllister and Jones just to give it. But then again, we've got games coming up, we've got massive games, so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a Gravenberch gets a go, as you say, because of physicality reasons. But I suppose if I was picking it, I'd still put, I think, because McAllister is obviously has operated as a six, and he's tackling and anything's got better and better, so I think he can help with turnovers in the middle, and then Jones can do the running for him. And then obviously if it goes wrong, which it always seems to be by half time, that we need to make a change, so maybe then you bring Gakpo or Gravenberch on to change it. But yeah, I wouldn't be upset with any of the options, and I feel like Harvey Elliott deserves a mention. He came on at half time, got man the match the other day, so if there's ever a reason to start him,
I think if anyone else he might be in the mix.
I
think the only one I think I can nail in starting is Jones, which is mad. Like, if you said this a few weeks, like months ago maybe, that, but that's been the case for a while now. I don't know, like, I think Jones is doing what I'm 100% certain will start,
especially without Sobersly as well. Yeah, that's, he does, yeah, running, yeah, doesn't, yeah, he, yeah.
The rest of it is a little bit like up in the air, really, which is again not a bad problem to have. Sobersly will play if he's fit. Obviously he's unavailable now, so we think anyway. It is it's whether you go horse of a course, just to pick who's in form. If you're picking in form, it would probably, Elliot would be on the pitch, just no doubt about it. But it depends again how he's looking at this situation, the skill set Brentford, the fact that there's three games in a week with a cup final on the back of it as well. There's a lot for the manager to weigh up here.
There is, and you know, we know sort of like when you plan a season, particularly, you know, because he's mentioned it in press conferences, that he will have a team sort of, I think, in mind already for like the final and stuff, and sort of where he wants to go with that.
And work back from that.
But also just in terms of things like recovery and stuff and getting players back. So, you know, he'll have a plan, say, for Mo Salah to be as ready as possible, say, for the final, even though he's not played a game yet since he's come back. So it's just sort of what fits, I think. But, you know, I think what he's been really good at this season, the manager, is the subs. And actually, I think probably the games where we've sort of struggled in the last couple has been actually he's got the subs not right, and that's mainly been through injury and stuff because we haven't had people available. So I think if you're looking at someone like an Elliott, or if you're looking at someone, you know, maybe like an Endo, and just saying, you know, look, I'm not picking you for whatever reason, kind of thing. But in terms of the squad morale, you just go, but there's a game in 4 days and you're going to play that one. And by the way, you're probably going to feature for 40 minutes maybe, you know, in the next game after that, and like play a key role. So I don't think it's in the past, I think if certain players were dropped, you would look at it and think, that's a shame, you're not going to see them for a bit. I think Elliot and people like Gomez now, and Endo as well, as a three, you're going to see all three of them, you know, over the next couple of matches, I think, at some point or another. And as you say, in terms of Jones, I mean, I just think the job he's done for the team, you know, again, sort of almost fire. I think there was a big spell of giving Gomez his flowers and saying, you know, I can't believe how well he's done, and, you know, he's performed great. Same with Jones lately, you know, going to right back and stuff, you know, in the last couple of games, yeah, and things like that. And just the performance he's been putting in, he 100% deserves his place.
I suppose as well, when there is so many midweek games coming up now, because obviously there's the Luton game, then there's a cup game, the Europa League's on its way back soon as well, it does allow you to keep the squad positive. What would you do then if you were picking a midfield three? If you're Jurgen Klopp now going, here's how I'm going to play Brentford tomorrow, what would your three be, John?
I'd have McAllister at six. I would start Jones ahead of him, and I think I would probably be positive and start Gakpo with the aim of he's a midfielder, but if we break and he can arrive late, if you like, kind of thing in the area, you know, then we've got a front four.
What about you, Peter? So you'd go Endo McAllister, I'm guessing.
Endo McAllister Jones, I'd say. Yeah. But as you said, I'm not going to be crying if any of the other three options are on the pitch.
If Gavin Birch was in good form, this would be an easier conversation to have because he'd just be in. Mm. I think I would go McAllister, Jones. I'd still consider Elliot, I think. And I've Gakpo in my front three, everyone worried about the height. Potentially is, but yeah, it's a difficult one. Let's talk about that front three then. We don't know yet, by the way. We're saying again how Salah is, if he's fit to go, if he's fit to start, whatever. He's been training since Tuesday, so you'd imagine he's going to be involved in some regard. This is another one, really, John. This is another difficult one, really. Because again, three from five, you can make a case for any of them, really. The only one I can see Defoe start, actually, ironically, is Darwin, and then we're back from there.
Yeah.
What would you do? How do you think he's going to set the front three up?
I think you've just got to pick your best numbers and what's been working from you. So I don't think Salah starts. I think you probably, if you do see him, you'll see him from the bench. I think Nunes is a cert. For me, I think Jota's a cert. I just think the only question for me is what you do with Diaz and Gakpo.
Or
Salah, but in terms of if Gakpo starts, does he start in the front three, as you've just said, or does he start in midfield and Diaz is ahead of him, kind of thing? I think in terms of form, I'd probably give it to Diaz, just in terms of keeping that going. But I'm conscious that Gakpo can do sort of more jobs for you, if you like. Like, I mean, like I say, you might still start Gakpo in midfield, kind of thing. I think Jota and Nunes picked themselves personally, and then I just think it's that last position is the only one where he might sort of have a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, okay, we're doing this a bit blind, Pete, but I mean, you tell Mo Salah he's on the bench, good luck with that. You know what I mean? Like, if he's done four training sessions and is declared fit, I mean, Jürgen surely will. I know you've got to be careful with hamstrings and stuff, but do you give him half an hour now with a view, or do you go, you know what, he will start you and take you off? Is he fully fit? Because he's a machine. You know, Liverpool have had reoccurrences of injuries. Alexander-Arnold, Szoboszlai, kind of Thiago, different injury, but maybe on the back of another one. Yeah. So that will be in the manager's mind as well with Salah. It's a strange dynamic, really, what you're going to do with him, because he's so good. Like, you don't really want him on the bench, but you've got to look after him as well. It's a difficult one for the manager, really.
Yeah, well, I think a lot was made about Haaland and De Bruyne coming back, and whether it's just from our side that we're not seeing it as much, but there doesn't seem to be anywhere near as much fanfare about the fact that the best creative player in the league, which, well, maybe again you can argue with the other two from City, but certainly our best goal scorer, and he's providing enough assists, is back this weekend, we think, so that should be a massive boost, whatever it is. Wonderful. Personally, I'd put him on the bench and say to him, I don't want to bring you on, because we don't want to, what's happened, as you said, to Trent, to Szoboszlai, to Thiago, we've rushed it. If we're 3-0 up, you'll get nowhere near that pitch, and then we'll give you either start, you give you the hour against Luton and take it off, or see what happens. But yeah, personally, I'd just say that to Salah, like, you're there if we need you. If it's tight, if there's half an hour to go, get him on the pitch. But my choice would be, I think Nunes and Diaz should start, especially with their back today. I think their pace out wide will test them, and then it's who you put through the middle, I think. And obviously, I'm not saying Jota's not playing well at all. I just think maybe putting a Gakpo in can help occupy a three, because he can collect the ball, maybe keep it moving better. And then if you are attacking the game, the options of having Jota and Salah off the bench, if we're hopefully not, but say we're 1-0 down, touch wood, we're drawing, I think that's that changed the game more, I think, than bringing a Gakpo on trying to get the win. So that's probably what I'd go for.
Yeah, we're selling manager going, I think Gakpo will start somewhere. Whether he's in midfield or on the right or on the left, you can play. You've got so many options. I think the manager might want him on the pitch. Welcome to score predictions and such a little bit later on, guys. But as I always do on this show, just gonna have a little look around the Premier League in general before we do that. Obviously, in terms of the title race. Obviously, Liverpool, Brentford, Liverpool. I mentioned before, Arsenal. So I do apologise. I said Arsenal were at home. They go to Burnley. I do apologise. Arsenal go to Burnley at 3 o'clock tomorrow as well. I mean, we're not holding any hope there, really, are we, John? Burnley are poor at the moment.
Yeah, they've had a little bit of a lease of life, I think, just in terms of getting after final in from Chelsea. But it's hard, isn't it? Because I feel for them only in the sense of, like, no one wants that as a season, really. No one wants that season where you just get hammered every week, but I just don't see anything from that personally.
No, they're
a big team's dream, aren't they? Because they're not scared to play their own game, which you see, like, Klopp, and I'm sure Arteta will say the same after they play great football. But when you're someone who's got the ball and someone's trying to beat you, we know how much easier it is.
So it's so open,
just, yeah. It's just, and then that keeper doesn't like to come off for crosses or knows what he's doing for crosses, and yeah, they've got some big players, but yeah, Arsenal win that
one. I think Arsenal win. Then the other one, obviously City host Chelsea half five. The game was a 4-4 recently, the last time they played. John, Chelsea have seemed to turn a little bit of a corner. They're not playing particularly well, but results are half going their way a little bit. They come back the other day against Crystal Palace. They got battered by us at Anfield, which is where, you know, the scoreline kind of flattered them a little bit. I mean, City are on the roll. They're doing the City thing. They keep winning and winning. They're losing a couple of players to injury. Grealish went out the other day, but it feels like their machine's starting to roll now. Is this one where you're half looking at going, maybe? At least Chelsea are the stature of club, at least, where maybe they can cause a problem. How are you seeing City v Chelsea?
I think sort of like, he sort of head tells you that obviously City should do
the business. Chelsea had a proper goal threat.
but I think my heart, just because it's Poch as well, I just think that I mean, there's definitely something in, you know, Sterling playing and getting a goal, isn't he, kind of thing. You've got to think that's a narrative sort of there.
Cole Palmer,
exactly. But the weird Chelsea, I think, at the minute, because they've got a lot of players. I think if you were to sort of pick their team on paper, it's not actually the team that would do anything for you, because I think that's sort of the team he was picking at the start of the season. And then he's found now sort of the lads who maybe aren't the big names, like your Gallagher's, you know, your Cole Palmer's of the world, who are actually doing the business for him. And it's just, if you can sort of put all that together, if you like, in a mix, because I still couldn't pick yet any of their front six. And I think, didn't they lose Thiago Silva as well to injury the other day? So
yeah, that might have been the worst one, by the way. It wasn't on the best season, Thiago. But like I said, they got battered by us, then they get battered by Wolves. It's like, Poch is going to go, and then they go to Villa in the FA Cup and win, and then they go to Palace and turn it around for about two consecutive 3-1s. They're a very enigmatic team. It's hard to know what you're going to get from them, which, if you look looking at someone who, like, we're neutrals in this, but we're not, we want them to win. It's hard to hang your hat on anything, really, because you think they've got players, but also, oh my god, they're a bit shit as well. It's a real difficult one.
It's all about the vibes, I think, with Poch at the minute. Just getting to the end of the season, yeah. But no, it's such a weird one, and I just think what you need in that game really is a big performance from someone. You need like a Caicedo or a Cole Palmer to sort of stand up and just be like, right, I'm gonna run. He had a little bit, even though the game was done, sort of with Fernandez when he scored the third goal against Palace, that felt a little bit like, right, we're here, we're back, kind of thing, watching it, but just see what happens.
The only way, I suppose, Peter's like, this is where, you know, if once you've been away in Europe and then you've got to play again on the Saturday, that's the only thing sometimes that can hurt you. Now, City have been really good at it. They won a treble. Like, they're used to it, don't get me wrong, and they've got options, but, you know, Copenhagen actually give them a bit of a game at certain points of that one. You know, they got back to, obviously, they got it level a bit. City get that third very late on. Maybe that's something again. I'm just thinking of anything really, Sam, because I'm fully expecting Burnley and Chelsea to lose. I'm expecting Arsenal and City to win, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, we've
you're saying there's a chance that Jim Kerry mean.
We already know that we've got to be nearly perfect if we want to win the league, but we need help from anyone who can give it to us. And if you're looking at teams who might win against Man City, then Chelsea are top of the list, but they're a lot higher up than a lot of other teams you can play. So, you know, if we need a favour from someone, and hopefully, you know, after we've battered them at Anfield, and then hopefully we beat them in the League Cup final, maybe Chelsea can give us the perfect, whatever it is, 2.5 weeks, and I'm going to get a result off City as well. But yeah, I think, you know, that Palace game, you know, they stayed in it. I suppose Gallagher gets his first two goals of the season, don't he? And then, as you say, Enzo Fernandez takes his goal quite well. So they're going to be on a high, and as you say, City will be a bit weary-legged maybe. Unfortunately, they've got a huge squad of players who can help them, but so have Chelsea, haven't they? But that doesn't always work in your favour. But yeah, I think we've got to try and be quite positive, because there are too many other teams in the league that will be more hopeful of getting a result against City. So just fingers crossed everything goes their way.
Yeah, fingers crossed Liverpool can do the business early on Saturday, and then Chelsea maybe do us a little favour later on. And I remember back in the day, if it was a Stamford Bridge, maybe you'd have more of a chance. The fact that it's at the Etihad, City's record at home is fantastic. But that being said, Liverpool need to get their job done first, John. That's the obvious thing. Do you think they will?
I think we will. I think, obviously, in terms of weight and numbers, I think we've got a much bigger sort of pool to pull from. I think injuries are really hampered Brentford this season. They're missing, I don't think Wiss is back. I don't think he's back from AFCON, but I don't think he's played, if you like. So they're just really lacking for pace at the minute, which I think kills them a little bit in terms of how they play. So,
like, Mopey's had a little revival, but yeah, it's not the same, you're right.
No, I just think it's weirdly like things like you said, like the wing backs, like they lost them. is it Henry, the lad who plays wing back for them? And it just seems to have just really...
Do you have a bad luck
just in terms of injuries, in terms of like the key players in that system that he wants, but bringing Tony back has at least helped with that and mitigated a bit, so obviously they still carry the threat. But I think this might be a sort of the third time of asking might actually be the one where we go and do it, and obviously that's exactly what we want.
Just you just got to hope we win, haven't you? It's pretty simple. It's just we've pretty much got to win every single game that comes our way. It feels like the title running gets earlier and earlier and earlier, doesn't it? And, you know, we're in the middle of February and it already feels like, you know, it's the first team to blink and the other ones take advantage of it. Then that's what maybe decides the title even this early, because we could win every game after this. If we lose this one, that could be enough to see us not get for it. Obviously, we're still playing City, but yeah, we just got to win. That's all it is. I hate predicting it, but yeah, I think we should win. So therefore, yes, possibly we will win.
I think it'll be a dog of a game.
Yeah,
I think come 85 minutes, we are going to be on the edge of our seats. Whether that means we're chasing a goal to win or we're holding on for one. I said 2-1, but like a nervous one. I wouldn't even be shocked if we do. I think it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah.
I think they just, that's the game they want, and they tend to get things going their way. But I do think Liverpool will win, but I think it's going to be a hard graft.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's one of them games where I think if it's sort of 1-1 on 60, I'm a little worried. Like, as in nervous kind of thing. And similarly, I could see it being that, like, we go 2-0 up and then they score on 75 and you're a bit like, right, just, I don't care who you put on the pitch, Jürgen, just put as many big lads on behind the ball as possible.
I think we've just got to win. I just can't be bothered with the first half where we look terrible and hang on a bit, and then we think just praying for the half-time whistle for Klopp to come and just have a way with them. Hopefully we can just start again well for once.
Yeah, we should just tell them.
It's half-time.
Just whatever you do at half-time, just do that before the game.
Yeah. Have some oranges.
Have some oranges and just do whatever it takes, because we seem to be a much better player. Very quickly, by the way, Diogo Jota has just been named player of the month for January in the Premier League, so... good luck. Congratulations to Diogo on that one. Maybe that...
it's his FIFA card sorted, isn't it?
He'll have himself in his FIFA. I'm sure he already has as well. That's probably what he's doing right now, setting that up. Right, guys, thanks so much for joining us for this one. If you want even more Red Men content in and around the Brentford game, yeah, come and join us on Saturday morning for the watch-along. Yes, we'll be live at 11:15. That's so early. UK time for the uncensored match build-up as the team news is announced. And then from 12:15 onwards with the watch-along. So yeah, come and join us for all of that amazing stuff, and yeah, we'll see us all on Saturday. See you in a bit.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.